podcast, Greater Than Yourself, Season 5. Thank you for listening. Do you have a question about sobriety, the 12 steps, sponsorship, or just want to contact someone from the podcast? Email us at podcastgreaterthanyourself@gmail.com or find us on Instagram at dr_silkworth or a podcast greater than yourself. If you're enjoying the podcast, please give us a rating on your podcast app and share the show with anyone who may benefit.
Raw dogging for Jesus.
That's right.
Okay, welcome back to a podcast greater than yourself. My name is John Barleycorn, and today joining me once again is the renowned groundskeeper, Carl Spackler.
Hello.
How are you?
My name's good. I'm Carl. I'm an alcoholic.
Good to have you, dude. How's it going?
It's going great.
From all the stuff that we just talked about before I hit record.
No, things are good, man. Yeah. I've avoided a gratitude open discussion meeting so far in November, so that's a positive.
Did you catch the one that we dropped on the podcast?
I have not listened to that yet. Was that a gratitude meeting?
It may be. You'll have to listen.
All right.
I really wanted to do, like, forever, I wanted to do an episode called the gratitude episode. Like,
right.
Like the sitcoms we grew up on, you know?
Right.
A very special silver spoons.
Right. You know? Right. Yeah. People misunderstand sometimes when I say that. I'm like, I actually do have a gratitude practice in my life, but that's not what I'm talking about at right. The gratitude open discussion meetings when people are grateful for their cars and their girlfriends and their boyfriends. And,
yeah. I'm grateful for my roofing job where I defraud the government out of tens of thousands of dollars a month.
Exactly.
All right. So basically what this thing is this is called One Alcoholic Talks with Another Alcoholic.
Yeah.
So first off, right out of the gates, I got to know, are you an alcoholic? Oh, wait, you already said it.
So yes.
We're good.
Yes, I am.
We're good. But yeah, I have had some people on, and basically what I'm doing is just asking for some takes, hot, cold, or otherwise, trying to get people's opinions on a few things that are like recovery related. Sort of just asking you to like rank stuff, which, you know, I think you're not unfamiliar with. So
no.
I think we can just slam right into it. Unless you have any questions.
No, okay. Fire away.
Sick. So, okay, the first section here is I'm going to ask if you think these things are overrated or underrated.
Okay.
All right. So the first one is recovery memes.
I love recovery memes. They make me laugh. There's also a lot of truth to that. Overrated or underrated? As applies to recovery?
Whatever.
Or just in general. I'd say they're probably, I don't know, underrated, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Feel free to elaborate as much as you want or as little as you want. It's
well, I think if some of them are much better than others, obviously.
Sure.
in my opinion, some of them are I don't know any of these. Well, I know a few people in real life that do recovery memes, but not very many. Most of them are, I have no idea who they are. Some of them are very mean spirited,
yeah,
which I don't think is cool.
You're talking about mine.
No. No, I'll tell you, maybe that's not their intention, but that's the way it comes across. Someone,
right.
You know, like a sort of maybe glorifying the craziness of active drinking, active addiction, which I think we all laugh about that stuff. But taken out of context, it can be, you know, in a meme, you don't have any backstory for that. That can be maybe a bit misleading.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, I can see that. All right. Okay, overrated or underrated step studies?
Mm. I'd say overrated.
Mm-hmm.
The reason I say is a lot of the step studies meetings that I have gone to are just probably 75% of the time people reading out of the book out loud, which I'm not sure when that's ever a good use of time in a group setting. And then, like, you know, a couple minutes of actual relevant personal experience on those working the steps. I think one-on-one working with another alcoholic going through the steps is infinitely more useful than a step study meeting. But that being said, I have been to some that are good. Mm-hmm. You know, like I know when I was first working the steps and with a sponsor and hearing some other people's experience with working steps 4 and 5 was helpful. Yeah.
I love how you put that though. Like, I don't know when that's a good use of a time in a group setting. That's perfect. That's a perfect way to phrase that though. Cause it's just like, I don't know, maybe never.
I mean, we all know how to read, right? It's like,
if you don't, maybe a group setting is not the best place for that to happen anyway. Right.
And you know, that's why I do like the Black Rhinos International meeting, because, you know, everybody reads the specified chapter beforehand, which I think is much more useful.
Yeah. I love it. That was Fred's idea. That was Fred's contribution. Right from the jump, when I heard that idea, I was like, yes, immediately. I'm
right.
In. Like, yes. You mean we're not going to spend half of the meeting reading, you know?
Right.
And also, like, for me, and I think people who have similar issues with reading that I do, like, it is not a fun experience reading in front of other people. Like, I don't enjoy it. It's like the sense memory of like being tortured in school, like being put on the spot, having to read. And I don't read well. That's a great answer though. Okay. Overrated or underrated sober celebrities?
Overrated for sure. Yeah. I don't know. Can I name names?
Sure.
I mean, they're the ones putting themselves out there, right?
Yeah, this isn't the one I warned you about.
Yeah. I mean, you know, Russell Brand's probably the poster child for that.
Right.
You know, and now he's got all of his criminal issues related to, you know, some pretty bad things.
Right.
And I don't, you know, so then there's lots of sober influencers that I guess maybe wannabe celebrities that are out there that, you know, it's just defeats the whole point of anonymity in the steps, you know, in the tradition, or not in the steps, in the traditions. And that being said, I do admire some of the celebrities that never really talk about AA, but you know they're in AA because of some of the things they say.
For sure.
And you know, there have been some celebrities that have gotten other celebrities sober, like from based upon their stories, which is, I mean, that's really cool.
Right. Yeah. Celebrities are people too.
Exactly. Just like us.
They eat chicken fried rice just like me.
Okay.
All right. Overrated or underrated, going through the big book line by line?
Overrated.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not going to argue with somebody that wants to do that with a sponsee. Mm-hmm. I don't find that useful. I don't do that with my sponsor didn't do that with me. I don't do that with the guys I sponsor. I do definitely pick out sections for sure. And we talk about things that I've highlighted or that he's highlighted, and we talk about that. But line by line, I think, again, I'm not going to argue with somebody, but I just don't know how useful that is.
Right. Yeah. I think especially with like certain parts, I'm just like, I don't, you know.
Right.
If we get to page 47 and you're like, yep, I'm willing to right. believe. It's like, right. great. Okay, now we have 8 more pages about the steel girder and the Wright right. brothers. I was just like, what the fuck? Like, I was like, yeah. is this a fucking, like, a nursery school? Like, what are we doing? Right.
Yeah, and or if people starting to get, like, parsing words, it's like, well, why did they use this word instead of this word? And it's like, it's just, you know, Bill Wilson, you know, ripping this off, or not ripping it off, riffing it off, you know, right, just right. like, you know, just like a stream of consciousness type stuff that then was edited by some other people with some mm-hmm. input. And it's like, you know, we don't need to get into a literal interpretation of, you know, the big book.
Right.
I don't think.
I wonder what the, like the balance is there with, if there's a way to measure like the number of people who in sobriety become these like big book crazy people who are like mm-hmm. combing through line by line and obsessively acting like everyone needs to be part of this like super important book club where you like dissect every piece of it. It's like my gut tells me that like most of those people are these like crusty old like I'm a pure alcoholic, you know, mm-hmm. don't talk about drugs in my meeting kind of people. But it's like absolutely the most like methed out scrubbing the shower with a toothbrush type behavior. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
they're diametrically opposed to having drug addicts in their meeting, and yet they act like fucking crack fiends over the big book.
Yes. Oh, yeah. I think we all know some of those people, and they've just sort of traded one addiction for another.
Right.
You know, it's like, I go to 17 meetings a week. It's like, all right, good. You know, I don't know. Maybe mix in a hobby. I don't know.
Like, may I recommend model trains?
Right. Right. It's like, I tell people going to meeting is never a bad idea, but like, you know, what are you, or is there maybe a better use of your time if you don't need, you know, to go to 17 meetings a week?
Right. Yeah. I answer to that question. Yes, there is a better use of your time.
Right.
All right. Overrated or underrated? Grand sponsors.
Overrated, I guess. I don't know. Yeah, I don't feel too strongly about it. I mean, I do have a grand sponsor. I've talked to him maybe twice in the time I've been sober. I mean, he's a nice guy.
Right. So, and you've been sober, what, like 10, 11 years?
A little over, yeah, like 10 and a half years, yeah.
So in 10 and a half years, you've somehow maintained sobriety with only 2 interventions from your grand sponsor.
Yes, correct. Right.
You heard it here, folks.
Right. Well, my sponsor and I, we're great friends, but yeah, he's super busy. I'm less busy than he is, to be honest, but because he's got a young family and stuff. But we talk maybe twice a month, like, and that's. If people will say, you know, talk to your sponsor every day, I mean, okay, yeah, it's not a bad idea, but right. I don't tell the guys I work with you they need to call me every day. I say that'd be a good idea, but like I'm not your parent. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, it's up to you whether you're going to do the work or not.
So. Yeah, right. All right, overrated or underrated? Serenity.
Well, I think that's underrated for sure. I think that is in the promises. Yeah. The 9th step promises. The serenity. I mean, I think I was about like maybe a year sober, and I had gone through the steps and, you know, still doing 10, 11, 12 every day. And, trying to get a sponsee, and like things in my life were good. They were really good. The obsession to drink had been removed. And but I remember talking to my sponsor, and I'm like, you know, just something's off. I like something's weird. You know, I don't know what it is. And we talked about, could it be this? Could it be that? Blah, blah, blah. And he's like, do you know, is it maybe like serenity and peace that you're feeling? And I was like, oh my God, you're 100% correct. No. It's like that was a foreign feeling to me. Right. And you know, it's like, because while my life was a complete dumpster fire in the last few years of my drinking, it was definitely not boring. Right.
Yeah.
So I was confusing like serenity and like boredom basically.
Right.
And yeah, so it was now like, oh, like those times of serenity. I mean, it's, yeah, it's fantastic. You know?
I can't help but think about, so like the changes that come, the personality changes that come that are like, I don't necessarily want to say secondary to the obsession being removed, but like, I mean, that's why we're here, you know, is the drinking thing, right? Kind of the biggest deal, but like the secondary personality changes, the thing that I think about, what you just reminded me of, is the first time that I remember, like in my life, interacting like pretty intimately, pretty one-on-one with someone who I like found attractive, who I would normally be attracted to, but in a capacity where I was like I was not driven by that. I was driven by like, oh, this is a person who I'm here to just be available and to be like plainly like helpful. And having this like conversation with someone after that and just being like, am I boring now or am I broken or like what happened? You know what I mean? And it's like, right. And basically it was just presented to me like, is it possible that like you've just grown into a person who has this new ability that you didn't ever have? You know, like part of your personality has changed where like you're more concerned with being useful to someone.
Right.
It's just like what you're describing. It's like the first time you experience like substantive change in yourself, like who you are. It's very similar to the obsession being removed, because like that was a driving factor in my life. Like every decision I made was based on pursuit of the psychic change that booze gave me, you know. And having that not be there, it's like, you know, I don't want to get all 12 and 12-y, but it's like it is like the hole in the donut kind of thing. It's like, well, if that's gone, then who am I kind of thing?
Right.
And it can be disorienting. It's just like, oh, wow, that's strange. I really am like different now. And it can take some acclimation. You know, you're just like you said, is this boredom? You know, it's just like, I don't know. Maybe I don't need to be like hectically, frantically seeking out the next hit of dopamine at every moment. Maybe this is just like peace, right?
Right.
That's awesome. Yeah,
absolutely.
All right. Overrated or underrated? Steps 6 and 7.
Ooh. Underrated or overrated? Man, these are tough. Because I could probably make an I think I could make an argument either way on this one. I'd say when I initially going through it, I think overrated, just because. Well, what immediately comes to mind for me is that book, Drop the Rock, right, which is about steps 6 and 7. And I read that early on, and I was like, I don't really understand this. And I've recently read it again within the last couple of years. I read it again, and I'm like, I still don't really understand it. It's like if you know, our friend Fred, I like what he said, and I'm paraphrasing, but you know, it's like if I had the ability to remove these character defects myself, like I would have done that, right? And so my experience has been that it certainly was not like, okay, I work six and seven with my sponsor, and then I mean that's true for everybody, right? And then I still have lots of character defects, right? Yeah. And to this day, 10 plus years sober, I definitely, I mean, it's that's a human thing, right? All humans have character defects, right? So it, but what I have noticed is that they have definitely lessened, mm-hmm. for sure, and some have gone away, maybe perhaps completely, or but definitely lessened. I mean, like for example, like I found myself, I was so used to lying about to cover my drinking and everything, and to cover all the horrible things I was doing to protect that. And I, in sobriety early on, I found myself lying when the truth was perfectly fine.
Right.
You know, my wife would be like, well, you know, hey, how was your day? And I'm like, start to lie. I'm like, wait a minute. The truth is fine. Like, what is wrong with me?
Right.
And so that sort of stuff, that is definitely lessened. And like my selfishness for sure has lessened, and, you know, other character defects as well. So I guess, but, you know, is that actively practicing six and seven? I mean, maybe, I don't know. I don't really think of it in that context.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love the lying thing, 'cause like it's it's something I still like watch people I know do, but mm-hmm. absolutely before I recovered, I was just like, it was just like reflexive. It was just like, it's better to just like lie for no reason. Like, I don't, right. like it was almost like entertainment or something.
Right.
And one thing that I think of often, again, it's another one of these secondary things. Like I 100% could tell you that there's one time that I've flat out lied, like absolutely lied since I've been recovered. And that lie, like I literally remember there's only one time I've lied, because it was such a massive change for me going through the steps. Like I mm-hmm. went through the steps so quickly and like with such just like, I'm just going to do every, I'm going to throw everything I have into this. And a bunch of stuff really changed. Like there were really big things that were driving me that, like, especially in amends, when I was confronted with the people where those are the relationships being affected by that stuff. And I was basically asked or told like, hey, here's how it needs to be. It just changed something in me where it's just like, okay, all right, I have to be different now. And one of those things is, you know, just being like a fucking liar for no reason. And so like the only time I know that I flat out lied was to my wife about like, I was going to get her a birthday card or a present or something. And I was leaving the house and she was like, where are you going? And I was like, I left something at my mom's, you know?
Right.
And it was like, it's such a dumb thing, right? To be like, oh, I lied, right? But like it was obvious, and it was like, you know, in my head and like on my heart, that was like, oh, I lied, right? And then like right now, so this episode's going to come out well after Christmas, but right now, I have bought my wife like this massive Christmas present. And so I am doing everything I can to not have to lie about this Christmas present and like the attendant circumstances around keeping it secret. So yeah, I just want to say, babe, if you're listening to this and it's after Christmas and I had to lie to you at some point about this, I'm sorry. It's only the second lie ever <Right. laughs> since I've been recovered. So, yeah, they're both about you and Christmas and presents. So, sorry. Okay. Anyway, so overrated or underrated, the meeting after the meeting.
Oh, I think that's underrated mm-hmm. for sure. Because the best friends I've ever had in my life by far are other people, most in Alcoholics Anonymous for yeah. sure. Like people that, you know, I'm not their sponsor. They're not my sponsor. We're just friends. Right. Mm-hmm. And, you know, one of my great best friends, we met met in rehab and we've still been friends, and he's still sober, I'm still sober, and they moved to Florida, but you know, I went down and visited him. So like, so that sort of stuff. And then other friends that I do things that really don't have anything to do with AA, mm-hmm. you know, they're just friends, right? We do stuff. So I think that's a huge benefit of AA, and I definitely encourage people to, you know, put themselves out there, you know, to try to, you know, get close to other people and just, you know, become friends with them, which is not easy to do for any adults, alcoholic or not. I mean, mm-hmm. making friends as a middle-aged adult is, or whatever, is right. can be difficult. Everybody's yeah. busy, you mm-hmm. know? And so, I just know, like, I tell people about this too, like the last few months of my drinking, I mean, my grandma wouldn't even answer the phone when I called, right. you know, it's like when your grandma doesn't answer the phone, things are bad. Right. Yeah. And now like, there's no exaggeration, 30 or 40 guys that I could call or text today and say, hey, I need help. Will you help me? Mm-hmm. And they would be here like, yeah. you know, today. You know, and that's really cool. So
nice. Hell yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Overrated or underrated? Gratitude.
You had to go there. I'll say it's underrated, with the caveat being that real quick story. My wife and I, my wife's not an alcoholic, but she does practice an Al-Anon program. And she got this idea, like the first, from someone, I'm not sure who, to say when I was newly sober, that it before we went to sleep at night, each of us would say three things that we're grateful for mm-hmm. for that day. And not like, you know, silly things, but you know, important things yeah. or meaningful things. So we've done that. We've done that every night since. Even if we're not together, we'll do it on the phone. And that has without a doubt improved my view and feelings upon the quality of my life. And doing that every day has made me more grateful throughout the day mm-hmm. for the things in my life. So while that particular practice is nowhere in the steps that I'm aware of, I think it definitely can be useful for really all human beings, I think, to practice gratitude. So from that standpoint, I'd say it's underrated, but the way it's sometimes presented in meetings, like in how we were joking about at the beginning with the yeah. open discussion gratitude meetings, that can be less useful in my opinion.
Right. Okay.
I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree. I'm to the point where I'm like, I think this is number 10 of these mm-hmm. that I've done. It's always the same ones I ask.
Right.
Where I'm like, I have to toe the line between not commenting at all, but then saying the same shit on everyone.
So, right.
But yeah, no, I think the overarching, like the prevailing rhetoric around gratitude within the fellowship is that like that's a mechanism by which you can recover or like, you know yeah. what I mean?
Yes.
Like as if it is a treatment for something.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that like anyone who's done the steps would just be like, well, that might be true, but it's not a treatment for alcoholism. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, I think that's kind of been the general sentiment of what everyone has said to that question. It's like mm-hmm. gratitude. Wow. Super underrated. And yet mm-hmm. in the rooms of AA, super fucking weird, like approach to,
yes.
you know what I mean?
I do know what you mean. Cause I go to a lot of treatment center meetings, and sometimes the outside speakers such as myself will, you know, they will come in and then there'll be somebody who's talking to these, you know, people that are in treatment, they've been there less than 30 days, still in some cases detoxing, and start talking to them about gratitude. And it's like, I know when I was sitting in that seat, the last thing I wanted to hear was about gratitude. I'm like, screw you, man. Right. Like, I just want to stop drinking. Like, I'm not grateful for anything. And so, so again, it's a good concept. I just, for somebody, a brand new newcomer, I just avoid that whole topic.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the, with this first section of overrated, underrated, the reason I chose all of these is because I can see myself agreeing with either answer on all of these, you know, and it's been really cool to hear people's takes. Okay. Last one, overrated or underrated, the ninth step promises.
That's, I'd say it's similar, similar type answer to the last question about gratitude. I think, the ninth step promises as written in the book are beautiful. I think they have lost some of their meaning because they're, just a snippet of them is said at most meetings, and almost every meeting I go to, the ninth step promises are read. So I think they lose some of their impact. Just my opinion. I mean, I personally like the, like many people, I like the 10th step promises even better, because the 9th step promises, I mean, they're great. And they've all come true for me, but the 10th step were the ones that really blew my mind about, you know, that I would not be attracted any longer to alcohol. I mean, I was like, oh, come on. There's just, there's just no way.
Yeah. Yeah.
So did I actually answer the question? I think they're underrated as the way they are written in the book, because they're really, you know, that whole, the question at the end, are these extravagant promises? And like, you know, it says we think not. Well, for me, they were massive promises at the beginning. And but maybe overrated. I would like to see more of the 10th step and other promises put into meetings instead of only the 9th step promises.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the context, as like with anything in the book, I think the context really matters, you know, like, cause you're just plucking something out of the book and being like, this is how it works. You know what I mean?
It's right.
Like, I don't know. That's not really how it works.
Right.
How it works is like, you know, a big chapter, you know.
Right. In the ninth step promises, the part that I rarely hear is what I think may be the most important part, where it starts out, the spiritual life is not a theory. We have to live it, right? And like, that's huge.
Right.
And that part is like eliminated from most of the ninth step promises readings at meetings.
Yeah, and I think similarly, like even just referring to them as the ninth step promises is extremely rare.
Right.
It's usually just like, these are the promises.
Yes. Well, that too. Yes. Good point. Excellent point. Because, yeah, when you're reading the ninth step promises in at a treatment center meeting, you know, and then people be, and somebody be like, all those have already come true for me. And it's like,
right.
You've been here for 3 weeks.
Like, right, right.
Are you sure?
Like, it's cool. Like,
that's like, right. It's like, no, they're the ninth step. Like, we're not there yet.
All right. We're going to move into some power rankings now.
All right.
So for this first section, I want to know your top tier in each of these categories. All right. Mm-hmm. So first up, top tier caffeinated beverage.
Coffee for sure is up there. And I drink way too much Diet Mountain Dew. Diet Mountain Dew.
My wife is going to give you so much shit for the Diet Mountain Dew.
Why?
She has like, she's like a preternatural rage against Mountain Dew. I don't know what it is. She fucking hates it.
Yeah, I drink too much caffeine, but you know,
no.
What are you gonna do?
All right, okay. Top tier AA speaker.
Top tier AA speaker. You mean in general? I assume you mean in general. So
yeah, it could be like a famous circuit speaker. Could be a type of person who shares, or could be somebody you heard in Sheboygan one time on vacation. Whatever.
Okay. Well, some of this, there's a weird, very weird subculture around circuit speakers that I'm sure you're aware of. So, like, you know, the famous the famous circuit speakers, and it's what? I didn't know that was how is that anonymity,
right?
So I'll leave that alone. But I do remember early on, I was traveling a lot for, I don't travel as much for work anymore, but I did before COVID ended. And a lot of times I would listen to leads that have been on there's various different podcasts that they're not really a podcast, it's just recordings of leads, and some of those were fantastic, you know, some really great stories, and I don't even remember any of the names, and it doesn't matter. But I would say in general, people who a good lead to me is somebody who hits the highlights of their story. I don't need to know about you know, your childhood, unless it's really important to your story.
Yeah.
And then hit the worst parts basically of your story, the hopelessness especially that went along with that. And then, you know, 2/3 of it should be about recovery, I think. Yeah. You know, and not a drunkalogue for sure. Not very helpful.
It's a good ratio. Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice. Okay. Top tier prayer.
Top tier prayer. I love the Serenity Prayer. Of course, I still, even though it's said all the time, I still really do love that prayer. The prayer of Saint Francis is I really like that, and I guess that's my answer.
I think that, do you think that part of the comfort with the Serenity Prayer is in its like compact, succinctly packaged sort of like, I want to say it's like, it's kind of like a fast food franchise of prayers. Do you know what I mean? Like, yeah. It hits like three ideas, and it does it in like a very like poetic sort of Hallmark card kind of way. But it's like very memorable, you know? It's not like, you know, bless us, O Mother, in our hour of, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I mean, you know, people have dissected the Serenity Prayer, including myself. I've done that, you know, let's dig into this philosophically, you know, and it's like, it's just, you know, I'm not sure how helpful that is, but it really is like every human being could benefit from practicing the Serenity Prayer. I mean, it's, you know, the wisdom to know the difference. I mean, that's just huge, right? Yeah. So, and that has come with time for me in sobriety, and I think, you know, experiencing things for the first time sober that I had never experienced before sober, and like, oh, okay, so that's how I should react to that situation, you know. In most cases, how I should react is by doing nothing.
Yeah. Right.
It's none of my business, right. I read this, sort of related to that. I read a meme, speaking of memes, I saw a meme yesterday. It said, stop being mad at people for them not being exactly the way you want them to be. Or it said something to that effect. And yeah. I'm like, oh, yeah, That's right. You know, and that to me that goes with the serenity prayer. You know, serenity to accept things I cannot change. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, I cannot change other people.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. So,
okay, all right. Top tier meeting format.
Well, I love the format of Black Rhinos. You know, where people read the chapter ahead of time, yeah, yeah. then we discuss it. A good mix of so. Definitely literature focused. I really do not like open discussion meetings. Mm-hmm. So occasionally they're fine. They do serve a purpose. They can serve a purpose, but if you get some non 12 step topics in there, which happens quite often to discussion meetings I've been to, I think it's a waste of time. Mm-hmm. But anyway, the big so definitely literature focused, a mix of people with some time that have worked the steps and newcomers and everywhere in between.
Yeah, yeah. Nice. All right, top tier big book chapter. So this is from Doctor's Opinion through A Vision for You.
Yeah. My favorite chapter in the book is We Agnostics, and it's ironic because the first time I read that book or that chapter was way many years before I got sober, yeah. Details don't matter, but there was a period of time about 10, 12 years before I got sober that I was invited to AA. More like order.
Cordially invited.
Cordially invited. And I remember reading it. I went to some meetings. I remember reading that chapter and I'm like, see, all they're trying to do is just shove religion down my throat. that's what I thought at the time. Yeah. I really did. Now, like, at some point in the early on when I was working the steps with the sponsor and we read We Agnostics, I'm like, oh, this is not at all what I thought it was at the time there previously. Yeah. I mean, I love that chapter. You know, I got hung up on steps 2 and 3. Lots of people get hooked, you know, on the God thing. And it's like, you know, what's it say? Do I believe or am I even willing to believe in a power greater than myself? It's like, I tell lots of people, it's like that bar is such a low right. bar. It's like, right. if you can't say yes to that question, then AA may not be for you. I mean, right. because it's such a low bar.
Right. And there's also like the like evergreen cringe take of like, they're just trying to trick me into, I'm just like, have you ever met a fucking like religious recruiter? They're not trying to trick you. They're like, you're going to go to hell unless you believe in this thing that I believe in.
Right.
You know, it's like, I am overtly trying to convert you. Like, these people are not like going under the radar and then like in 6 months they're like, oh, by the way, you're Pentecostal now. Like, that's not how that works, you know?
Right.
But somehow with the big book, this thing that's freely trying to help you save your life, it's just like, nah, you're trying to trick me.
Yes.
No, so weird.
100%. And you know, that's part of the psychic change, right? It's like like AA did not in that period of time when I went to my first meeting or first set of meetings, whatever, until I finally got sober with the sponsor and working the steps, AA didn't change. Right. Like the book didn't change. Yeah. Like nothing changed except my willingness to and ability to hear it. That's what changed. And what brought that about was just simply pain, right? Yeah.
Like, right.
It was, yeah.
Yeah. For me, it's like best stated as like, there was just a point to where I was like in enough pain and like fucked enough to where I was like just slightly more willing to consider like maybe I'm not too smart and too correct to try this, you know?
Right.
And it's just like, that's really all it took. Because then once I have this like substance of this experience that's produced by the steps, I'm just like, oh yeah, none of that fucking matters. Like it doesn't matter. you know, the shit that, that stands in my way has been removed. And I'm like, okay, cool. Now I'm just like, I'm my own person. I don't see anyone trying to influence me. Anyone who matters, right? Of course, there's always like random dickheads in the fellowship who want to tell you how to live your life or whatever. But like, this book of the directions really doesn't do that. It just offers the suggested path, you know?
Right.
And it looks a lot of different ways. And I sponsor a lot of people who, as recovered people, have like a similar blueprint, but like arrive at very different places in terms of spiritual practice, you know?
Yeah.
It's very cool.
For sure.
Okay. So top tier personal story from the big book. This could be anywhere, cover to cover, anywhere in the book.
I love, what was Jim the one with the milk?
Yeah.
Is that Jim? Okay. I love that story.
Old Milky Jim.
Yeah. Old Milky Jim, you know, cause, you know, I didn't do that. I could really relate to that. And I still do. I never did that with milk, but I do remember there was a time where like, I hated gin, for example, right? Yeah. Like I know a lot of people like gin, whatever. I hated it. So I thought, I'm just going to drink gin. And then that'll help me control how much I drink.
Right.
And you know, so it's like just the insanity of that. And there were other times in a similar situation where like I had had, I had zero control. Not that I really ever had control, but I had zero control at all in the last couple of years of my drinking. But before then, I would sometimes occasionally be able to moderate it. But there were times where I would be sitting in a bar and I'm like, I'm just going to get an iced tea. No thought of drinking, just like Jim. And then I'm like, you know what? Things are going good. I think I am going to have a shot of bourbon, you know, and then next thing I know, I'm ordering from the bartender. And then, you know, a day later, I wake up in Lima and you're like, what happened?
It's like, no one wants to be in Lima.
Right. Like, right. And it's just, I think the other part of that story too is he failed to enlarge his spiritual practice. Am I remembering that correctly? Jim, I think. And that, you know, cause there was also a period of time in my life where I was going to meetings and that I was sort of staying sober. I mean, I physically was sober, but that was about it, you know, and I was white knuckling it. And I thought that was as good as it was going to get. That stopped working, and then it just got worse and worse and worse. And the only thing that had any sort of long term change is what we've already talked about. Yeah,
right.
The steps with the sponsor. That it's the only thing that's worked for me.
I like how you put it around the whiskey milk thing, like, because everyone is always just like, well, I never did that, you know what I mean? But it's like, actually, you did. Every alcoholic's done it. You know, it's like, I never put whiskey in milk, but like, I did countless things like that. But it's like, I think that that's why they don't do like a general example. They do a specific one. So it's like, you could, ostensibly, you could read that example and be like, well, that's oddly specific. I've never done that. I don't know. But if you're being honest, and like you look at your life experience, like how many times was I like, I'm going to take Angostura bitters and just put a little bitters into my diet soda and call that not drinking alcohol. And how many times did I do that where I can remember buying, I found like a 19 ounce bottle of Angostura bitters, like this giant one, you know, cause they're usually like 6 ounces. And I drank the whole fucking thing. And like being drunk straight off of only Angostura bitters is unpleasant at best.
Oh, right? Yeah. It's so bad. Yeah.
And like, but it's like, that's exactly whiskey milk. It's the same fucking thing. It's just like, I'm going to put a little bit of this stuff. It's just some like, you know, flavor enhancer. It's like, meanwhile, it's 50% alcohol or whatever, you know?
Right.
And it's just like a few shakes of that. Do that twice. Sets off this craving for more of that. And I drink a whole fucking bottle. My face and neck are all beet red. You know what I mean?
Right.
And it's, so it's like, yeah, if I'm being intellectually dishonest, no, I never put whiskey in milk thinking it wouldn't harm me in a full stomach. But like, if I'm looking actually at that as like just a practical example of what alcoholic insanity can look like, yeah, I did that 100 times. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I used to wonder, like, you know, the gas station vodka or the grocery store foolproof
watered down
vodka.
Stuff,
yeah, it's like 20, what is it, like 20% alcohol or something like that. And right. I remember thinking, like, what idiot would drink that stuff? It's like, what, like, go to the real liquor store. And, like, for somehow I convinced myself that, like, that was better to be drinking that. It's still, I mean, so like there's a gas station real like walking distance to our house, which was, I mean, that was convenient, right? Yeah. And but it say they had the, you know, the 20% vodka, and I ended up drinking that all the time because I thought, well, this is better than the full vodka. I mean, just that's insane.
Totally.
Yeah.
Completely crazy. I'm gonna drink 3 cases of this.
And it tastes so bad.
Yeah, it's not good.
No.
All right. Okay. Moving on. We're going to do bottom tier. It's our last section here.
Okay.
Bottom tier caffeinated beverage.
Well, I know I said I love Diet Mountain Dew, which I do, but energy drinks, any sort of like a Monster, that stuff, that stuff, it's, there's something beyond just the caffeine in there that that makes me really jittery, even though I drink a lot of caffeine. Like if I have a Red Bull, I'm like, and it's not a pleasant feeling at all. So let's say that.
Okay, for the listeners, Carl just did like a hummingbird speed jazz hands type thing.
Which I know a lot of people love energy drinks, so hey, whatever, knock yourself out.
Or keep yourself up.
Or, yeah.
All right, bottom tier AA speaker.
Bottom tier. Somebody who does like a long drunk log, and then you know, the last 2 minutes, like, oh, yeah, and so then I started working the steps, and I got sober. And, like, the end. And you're like, wait, what? You know.
You people are great.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I
feel like that's how they always sum it up.
Yeah. When that happens, I'm hoping that somebody in the room heard something that could be helpful to them, you know, and that's back to the thing. That's the serenity prayer. It's like, I'm not in control of what somebody says in their lead, obviously not. Yeah. And, there have been lots of people over the years that, you know, what's that thing? You've seen memes about that before. Like, well, somebody, like two alcoholics can go into the same meeting, and like one can come out and be like, what a waste of time, you know? And then the other's like, man, that's exactly what I needed to hear. So it's like, maybe somebody needed to hear that. What I would think is a bottom tier speaker. Maybe somebody else in the room needed to hear exactly that. I don't know.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Bottom tier prayer.
The Lord's Prayer, and I'm only saying that specifically to I actually like the Lord's Prayer from it, like in my family, on both sides of my family, the Lord's Prayer has always been a big thing. Like every Thanksgiving, Christmas, blah, you know, everybody joins hands and says the Lord's Prayer. So I'm not saying that in that context. What I am saying is in the context of, it's such a religious prayer. And so you'll sit there and be like, you know, it's not a religious program, and you know, it's a spiritual program, not religious, and it doesn't matter what sort of God you believe. And now we're going to end with the Lord's Prayer.
So like, anyway, Lord Jesus Christ.
It's like, you know, it's like there's so many problems I have with it in that context. However, I'm not going to like go to group conscience and go, we need to get rid of the Lord's Prayer. It's like, I don't feel that strongly about it, but as far as an AA prayer, to me, that's definitely the bottom tier. Okay.
So let me ask you this: with family, like Thanksgiving, Christmas, and stuff, when you circle up at the end, do you keep coming back? It works if you work it.
Yeah, there you go. That'd be funny.
Just force of habit,
right?
Keep coming back. Oh shit, everyone else is quiet.
Sorry, my bad.
All right, bottom tier meeting format.
Like we talked about earlier, like everybody going around reading a couple sentences out loud for like right. 3/4 of the meeting, and then some random comments at the end. Those are just really bad. A big book meeting where you're reading the stories out of the back. Oh. That's probably, oh my God. I mean, I've Brutal. Been to those. It's so bad. Yeah. It's like, who are we helping here? You know?
Who are we helping reading the keys of the kingdom yet again?
Yeah, I mean,
I feel like it's always the keys to the kingdom. Or yes. Acceptance was the answer. It's like one
acceptance
of those.
Acceptance was the answer. Yeah, I'm just it's like, all what my is problems.
Okay. Bottom tier big book chapter.
Well, the stories.
Well, the so stories I'm just talking about. Specifically Doctor's Opinion Through a Vision for You. You got to okay. pick one. One's got to go.
Two wives. However, a caveat to that also is that I think the principles of that chapter are fantastic and mm-hmm. remain very helpful. Uh-huh. But it really needs to be updated for modern times. It's yeah. not yet that chapter turns off people way, and the family afterwards too, to a certain extent, but to why I mean, you're turning people away uh-huh. with continuing to have that chapter written the way it is for a society that does not exist anymore.
Right.
So,
okay.
But, yeah.
Okay. Bottom tier personal story from the book. Anywhere in the book.
I can't, honestly, it's been so long since I've read them. I can't remember all of them. Or really can't remember very many of them. I guess I would say the acceptance one, yeah. just because it's taken out of context so often in right. meetings, and you know, people have picked out those couple sentences and it's like, that's not actually what the person was saying. Right. And that runs so counter to how I think of useful and beneficial society should run. Mm-hmm. We actually shouldn't accept some things in this world, and we should all work to change them.
Right.
You know. Yeah. So.
Hell yeah. Awesome. Okay, I got one last thing for you.
All right.
So. Please, would you describe your experience in AA in one word?
One word. Wow, this is... I'm sorry, this is harder than I thought to think of it in one word. Surprising.
Oh, nice. That's a good one. Yeah.
It took, it's hard for, just because it was, once I finally did the work, you know, once I was in enough pain that I said, okay, fine, I'll try this. And I remember even meeting with my sponsor and saying, I don't think this is going to work for me, but I'll try it anyway, because I can't think of anything else to try. Yeah. And then when I actually did that, and I'm like, this is so much different than what I thought it was going to be. Mm. And so for that reason, that'd be surprising as my answer. Yeah.
Nice. Awesome. Awesome, dude. Thank you so much for joining me with this. It was really cool. It was good to talk.
Thanks, John. It was awesome. It's great to talk to you. Thanks for doing this. It is very helpful.
Well,
for people to listen to it. It's my pleasure. Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome, dude.
All right.
This has been a podcast Greater Than Yourself.
A podcast. Podcast Greater Than Yourself was created by recovered alcoholics. All involved in the creation of this podcast are active members of Alcoholics Anonymous who wish to carry the message of our own recovery to those who still suffer. We do not claim to represent Alcoholics Anonymous. All comments are from our own experiences as alcoholics who have recovered by following the directions for the 12 steps found in the book Alcoholics Anonymous. Thanks for listening.